Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Thursday, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines. And we're excited about our next guest. You see him on ESPN on Get Up every day and also does their NFL coverage on Sundays and was a longtime member of ESPN Radio as well. Mike Greenberg, Greeny, is on the line with us. Got Your Legends is his new book that is out now. Greeny, how you doing?
I'm doing great, fellas. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thanks so much for doing this. I want to know more about your book here in a second, but you're a Jets fan, so you understand pain. Is it as bad as maybe what we're going through in Nashville right now with the Titans?
Well, I think it is worse for the Jets because I am of the impression that the Titans have the one thing that is going to ultimately rescue them from the abyss, and that is I am a huge believer in Cam Ward. And whatever it is that's gone wrong these first 3 weeks, and I understand it's been a little ugly, that I have not been dissuaded from that. And I don't know how you guys feel about it, but, you know, I cover the draft for the network, and so we did all the work on all these guys, and I am a huge believer in Cam Ward. So the first year, I don't know that it's unreasonable to think that there wouldn't be bumps in the road, and I don't know that the coaching is where it needs to be. And there are a lot of pieces around him that are going to need to be changed, and he needs to get better, and he will. But I believe the Titans have the first and most important step towards getting back to where they want to be, and the Jets do not.
Well, and you kind of alluded to it there. I mean, you work with coaches, you work with GMs. I mean, you've seen this for a long time. With Brian Callahan now giving up play calling when he initially said he didn't really want to do that, he does it. I mean, do you think that this is one of those situations where he's essentially a dead man walking and they're going to be making a coaching change sooner rather than later?
Yes. I mean, barring a turnaround that I don't think most people expect, yes. It certainly feels as though it's headed in that direction. And look, you, if you're a coach and you're supposed to be an offensive coach, you don't. How many quarterbacks do you get? Like how many chances do you get before it is demonstrated that you're not getting it done and so it needs to move on to someone else? I'm not in the business of calling for people's jobs, but this has been ugly, and it certainly feels like a change is coming. What the first step towards that change is taking away play calling responsibilities. Sometimes assistants get fired or moved around, but it certainly feels like in the end there'll be someone else coaching the Titans next year, if not sooner than that.
We're talking to Mike Greenberg on the Chasing Big Joe Show, live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lions here in Nashville. And Mike, when you think about the Titans, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Not currently, but overall. When you think about the Titans, what comes to mind first to you?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, obviously for so long, it was all about Vrabel and Derrick Henry and sort of power football and what the, you know, the good years they had with that, the year they had that one seed and it didn't get as far as they would have liked, the year that they made that run all the way to the conference championship game on the back of Derrick Henry when people didn't expect that from them. That's probably the most recent image. And then obviously Will Levis and that experiment, we all expected Levis to hear his name called earlier that night than he did. There were some who thought he was an absolute steal in the second round. That obviously didn't go well. The enormous mistakes that we saw from him early last year. So in recent memory, those would be the things that I think of. If I close my eyes and picture the Titans, what I mostly picture is Steve McNair and Jeff Fisher and a tackle on the 1 yard line and stuff like that. But that's obviously at this point generations ago. I guess the more recent thing I think of would be those Derrick Henry teams.
Yeah, that's the thing. A lot of people outside of Nashville think about the Titans go back to McNair and Eddie George and Jeff Fisher because it's just they don't get talked about here a lot with this. And now with the team being 0-3, at least, Mike, you gave Titans fans hope about Cam Ward. We're big Cam Ward fans on this show, and the fact you think he's that quarterback, that means a lot to Titans fans. So thank you, Mike, for giving hope to Titans fans today.
Are there, or is that not the consensus feeling? Are the fans there generally turning on the quarterback this quickly?
No. They understand that. But after Cam Ward, there's not a lot of hope. And there's a lot for this football team going forward. So the fact that they've got a foundational piece who's recognized like that outside of Nashville, I think goes a long way, Mike.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the kid is special. And I think he has a chance to be great. Now, there are more good young players, particularly quarterbacks in the NFL, who get ruined than get developed. And that's always the concern. We've seen it happen a lot. The Jets have done it a lot. So I've seen it up close and personal a lot. And that is certainly a possibility. No one is too good to overcome that stuff. No one is too good to fail in the NFL, particularly at that position. Look at the quarterback who went number one the year before him, and Caleb Williams, who came in more hyped and with greater expectations than Cam did, and walked into a situation so bad that he basically has to unlearn all of the things that happened in his first year. So you can, I mean, steps backward can be taken, and really talented players at that position in particular can be ruined, which is why I think you have to be wary and make moves judiciously and aggressively around him. But in a vacuum, I think he is an outstanding talent who seems to have all of the, and you guys know him better than I do, but everything that I hear, all of the right, you know, first guy in, last guy out, all that kind of attitude stuff, that those are the things that it takes to become a successful quarterback. Now you need to put the right people in his ear and around him on the field.
Mike Greenberg is with us from ESPN. Got Your Legends, ranking America's sports franchises and their most iconic figures. Your new book, tell us a little more about it.
Well, I couldn't be more thrilled than I am with this one. This book is a really special one for Hembo and me. It's the third sports book that we've done, and it's by far our biggest and most expansive concept. So here's what it is, guys. We take every team in the four major sports, so every team in the NHL, the NFL, the NBA, and Major League Baseball, 124 teams, and we choose their Mount Rushmores. We choose their four franchise faces, the four greatest legends of each of these franchises, and then we take all of the teams and we rank them. So we rank them in order from 1 to 124. So there's two different things that fans can decide. Do you think that we got the order right? And then do you think we got the right franchise faces for your team and for others? Hopefully that will create a lot of discussion and debate. I've been thrilled the last few days with all of the stuff I've heard people saying and sending me notes online and all that sort of thing. And then most importantly to me, whether you agree or disagree, I wrote long essays about every single team and all of these legends. So there's a ton of sports history in the book as well. And if you would like, I'd love to hear if you guys want to guess who we chose as the franchise legends, the four faces of the Titans franchise, which, of course, does go back to the Houston Oilers. I'd love to see if you think I got them right.
Okay. Earl Campbell.
Yes.
Warren Moon.
Yes.
Steve McNair.
No, we did not go McNair, which was a very, very tough choice.
Ooh, okay. Eddie George?
No, we actually went more recent than that.
Derrick Henry.
We went with Derrick Henry, yes. And then the fourth name is Bruce Matthews, who was a Hall of Famer and an under-remembered, I think, all-time great player from back in the Oilers days. And I know that's a lot of Oilers and not a lot of Titans. That really was a tough, when we came down to the quarterback between Moon and McNair, we had a very tough time because obviously Steve McNair had an outstanding career and shared the MVP award that year and was 1 yard away from having a chance to win a Super Bowl. But we felt that Warren Moon, among the things that we take into account is not just a player's greatness, but the significance of their career, the cultural importance of their career. And Warren Moon was such an incredibly important figure in pro football history for so many reasons that we chose him above McNair, which was a hard choice, but I defend it. I think it was the right call, one way or the other. That's the beauty of the book. I know some people will disagree, and those are the conversations that I would love people to be having right now. There's so many things we can be disagreeing about, and there's nothing better than disagreeing about sports over a beer, and I hope that's what everyone will do and will enjoy the book.
I love it. Mike, let me ask you this. I know you're a Jets fan, but I've told Chase all the time, I think the most important, impactful NFL player or professional football player of all time, Joe Namath. Do you agree?
Well, I think that victory, that win, the Jets victory in Super Bowl III, which Namath legendarily guaranteed, is the most important game in pro football history. It's one of two. The greatest game ever played, which is what they call the 1958 NFL Championship game, which was the first ever overtime game, and It was televised, and it was Johnny Unitas and the Baltimore Colts against the New York Giants. And that was described as the greatest game ever played, and it is credited with bringing a lot of fans to football that had not previously been interested. Super Bowl III saved the Super Bowl. There have been so many stories written, and we wrote about it in one of our first books. The concept of the Super Bowl was very much in jeopardy after the first two. The National Football League was so dominant in the matchups against the American Football League. No one felt that they belonged, that the AFL deserved to be on this sort of equal footing. After the Packers just obliterated Kansas City and Oakland in the first two Super Bowls, that had it not been for the Jets, who were an 18-point underdog winning that game, there may not have been a fourth Super Bowl. And when you consider what the Super Bowl has become in our society and our culture, it's not only, I think, the biggest event that we have in America every year in sports. I think it is the biggest event we have in America every year in anything. I think you can certainly attribute a lot of that to Namath and to the Jets. So in that regard, I think you could make an argument. He's among the most important football players that ever lived. Yes.
Love it.
Real quick, Mike, because you have the NHL too, I'm curious at the Predators because, they're still a fairly new franchise. I have to assume Pecorine is at the top, but I'm curious of where else you went with this.
Let me get to their page very quickly here. I should have had that ready, and I apologize that I did not, but I will find them for you quickly. Go ahead and throw some names out there that you're expecting. When I get to the page, I'll let you know if you had it right.
Pecorine, Shea Weber. I mean, are you including active players?
Yes, or they have two. I got it. Yes, active players can be on there. Yes, Pecorine and Shea Weber are both on.
Roman Josi.
Correct.
And Philip Forsberg.
That is not. We did not go with Forsberg, no.
Is it Paul Kariya?
No.
Wow, David? I don't.
David Poile.
No, David Leguan.
Oh, David Leguan.
David Leguan.
Okay, all right. David Leguan. Yeah, the first pick. That's good. Okay, all right. Yeah. I have no issues with that.
A defining player in some ways. And again, I appreciate your saying that, but if you have issues with it, that's the beauty of it. You know, we made our choices based on the priorities that we sort of put in place, and that's what I'm hoping is that it'll generate a lot of conversation and that sort of debate. So if you think we got it right, great. If you think we got it wrong, then I would love to hear from everybody on social media and wherever else, because these are exactly the kinds of conversations I love to have.
How long did it take you to do this book?
So I do the books with my right-hand man, Hembo, who has been my researcher going back to my Mike and Mike days. He is the best sports researcher in the business without close competition. And so the way we do these books is he does all the research. We have the idea to do it. He goes off, creates these databases, finds things that I can't believe he finds. And then we sit down together and make the decisions over, you know, using all of his data, and then I write them. And that's the process. That's my writing, his research. And it's in that way, I think it's a really good combination. So soup to nuts, it probably took, this one was by far the longest, so it probably took us about a year to do the entire thing from beginning to end.
Very, very cool. Got Your Legends, ranking America's sports franchises in their most iconic figures. You can get it on Amazon right now. Mike Greenberg has been with us. Mike, thank you so much for doing this. We love you here in Nashville, and enjoy your work on ESPN.
Well, thank you so much. And I just mentioned very quickly, you mentioned Amazon. They are doing a special price right now while I'm doing this radio tour, which I've been on for the last 2 days, and today is the last day. So anyone, if you are interested, my endless thanks for your support. If you order from Amazon right now, you will get it at a special discounted price that they're doing for my radio tour. But you can also get it anywhere that you buy your books, at your local bookstore, or wherever the case may be. Thank you so much, guys, for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon. Mike Greenberg, better known as Greeny from ESPN, joining us here on the program. Really good stuff. And we love the Mount Rushmore, those conversations.
Well, throw it out there. I mean, do you guys agree with what he says is the top four Mount Rushmore? I found it interesting because we separated sometimes only
Oilers and Titans. Yeah. Well, because they're one of the few franchises. They're one of the few franchises that, you know, they do kind of continue the history. Now, I know the Colts do as well, going back to Baltimore. But, you know, Cleveland, it stayed in Cleveland. And I think kind of looking at it, that was the right move. You know, the now Utah Mammoth, the Arizona Coyotes, stayed in Arizona.
Yeah, I agree.
But they took the – originally they took the Winnipeg Jets, and then when the Winnipeg Jets came back, they gave them the history. So
has there been another franchise – you talk about all this stuff – who's drafted better running backs than the Tennessee Titans / Houston Oilers?
That's – I mean – you have one in the Hall of Fame. You have one that's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and one that there is an argument to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I mean, you got four of them that are outstanding. Yeah,
you're right. And then another one who is now a nominee for the Hall of Fame that I don't think gets in, but certainly had a respect. I mean, you have two 2,000-yard rushers.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only franchise to claim that. So, yeah, I would say so.
I mean, you go down the list of thinking other teams have drafted great running backs. Nobody compares to this franchise.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this discussion. Coming up next, live from the Omni Nashville Hotel at Barlines, 102.5 The Game.